Welcome to the Feed Weekly, where we take a fresh look at New Zealand's most important food stories. Proudly brought to you by AUT Plant and Food and Beef and Lamb New Zealand. Don't forget to join us at thefeed.co.nz. And now for a bite.
Wellington on a Plate launches in the last weekend of this month, and it runs through all of August. Kicking off the first weekend is a pop-up experience, the Sea Breeze Inn, celebrating Aotearoa New Zealand's fresh, seasonal and sustainable kaimoana. The inn will run over the first three nights of the festival, 29, 30 and 31 of July. And joining me now is the Sea Breeze Brains, Chef Morgan McGlone, and also his collaborator, the one and only Martin Bosley from Yellow Brick Road. Thank you, Martin and Morgan, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Morgan, I'm looking at a very inauspicious location for the Sea Breeze Inn. It looks like an old car mechanics somewhere in near College Street or just down the road from Lafare. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw a couple of the spaces that they were thinking of using when I was there recently to finish up some work from a previous Wellington on a Plate, like a fried chicken event that I had to do a private dinner for them, lunch for them in a cooking class. And Beth and Sarah sort of showed me a couple of spaces when we sort of came up with this idea of what we thought would be a really cool concept of championing kaimoana in New Zealand. And it's kind of like almost like I spend a lot of time in the south of America. It's almost like a crawfish shack, almost like a seafood shack that you would have in those sort of areas where the things you're doing one or two dishes that are just really, really banging and just getting the most out of the ingredients as possible.
Yeah, good. So I imagine you're really going to bring it to life. I have no doubt you're fully capable. And tell us, what's the concept, Morgan? Because, what I'm reading in the intro, in the program, is it's we're going to look at fish and chips, fritters, chowder, a raw bar, and more. So tell us about the concept.
Well, I mean, we wanted to, I think this year was more about keeping the talent within New Zealand, and we've sort of tapped the shoulder of Oda Shapira from Auckland and the girls, Casey and Karina, who were the winners of MasterChef a few years back. Mm. I've done some events with them and with Cloudy Bay Clans before, and it was really cool to have them involved. And I think it's going to be like your quintessential Kiwi fish and chip shop, but I think with those other two chefs involved, we'll make it almost a kind of refined offering, but keep the price at a point where people can come back and have four, five things and not sort of like, and be substantial, it'd be a kind of substantial amount of food, you know what I mean? I think we're not there to like make it crazy expensive, and we want families to be calm, we want people to come in groups and sit down and grab a bunch of stuff and share it as well. And then, there's all the other things. We've got some ice cream shops, and Martin's doing a really cool raw bar, I believe, and we're going to have some drinks on offer. I think it's just going to be kind of real casual, but kind of nice to work with those young guys, Otis and Casey and Karina, which is going to be cool.
What do you think is going to be the twist on our classics, like fish and chips? There's only so many ways you can do fish and chips, isn't there?
Yeah. I believe there's some talk of some vegan fish bites, I think. The sort of like the, I think, I'm not sure what's exactly inside, whether it's jackfruit or konjac or whatever it is they'll be using as an alternative. My dishes are kind of like an old classic French dish. I'm doing a homage to my parents' dinner parties, which is a vol au vent royale, which is a bunch of almost like marinara seafood poached in the beurre blanc and just served in a pastry case. But instead of my parents would purchase these from a shopping market, we're going to bake our own, thank God. And the other one I'm doing is working with Isaac Piper from Cloudy Bay Clams and doing a clam chowder, New England style clam chowder. But, I think because of the actual weather, it's probably going to be cold. More than likely, we're still in the winter months there, and it's probably going to be cold. maybe even raining, and I think there's a welcoming soup or vol-au-vent is kind of cool. I'm not entirely sure what Otis has up his sleeve. He's talking about crayfish and also doing some tours as well. And the girls are wanting to do grilled mussels and power on toast, which is kind of really cool.
Power on toast.
Involved. Yeah.
There's a novelty. Now, you've got quite a lot of international experience. What brings you back to, and what has brought you back home, and what's brought you to Wellington on a Plate?
I mean, I got invited 7 years ago to do an event, and usually it was the opening event which I would do with Hot for Chicken. I've done it four events at Prefab and then a couple of events with Shepherd as well.
Mm.
I just really like Wellington. It's a little bit different to Auckland. No disrespect to Auckland. I just find the people a bit more chill, a little bit more engaging, nicer. Hope this is not going to upset anyone, but
I think they might be used to it by now, Morgan.
The Melbourne of New Zealand, where people are generally nicer, and Sydney is probably more like Auckland. People are a little bit. In Auckland, are probably a bit more advantageous, you know. So, it's really cool to come home. This year, I'm going to bring my son. It's his first time he's travelled ever, so it's going to be really cool to have him there. My mum's going to come and take care of him while I'm doing my event, and it's going to be fun to have him in New Zealand for the first time.
That's such a treat. How old is your boy?
2.5. He's 2.5. So
wonderful.
It's his first time on a plane and first time, you know. We put his passport in yesterday. It's a big thing, you know.
Oh,
I remember
fantastic.
My first trip back to New Zealand when I was little, coming to it from Australia. So it's pretty exciting.
Because you're based in Sydney, right?
Yeah, I'm based here, but I was born in Tukaroa. Australia when I was 6 years old. But then I went to school. I went to fifth form to seventh form in New Zealand. So But I did all my training in Australia. So
yeah,
But I've never swapped allegiances. So it's I might not have the accent all the time, but you know I got the black passport for a reason.
Yeah, good. Well, I think we're lucky to have you, Martin. It's it's such a great event, isn't it? Wellington on a Plate. What is that? Your involvement has also been extensive. How are you fitting in with the Sea Breeze?
Wellington on a Plate, I mean, it's an amazing event, sort of been involved from day one, really, and various guises and forms and events and things. And my sort of role, I guess, in recent years sort of transitioned from being that of chef / restaurateur into that of being a seafood supplier and fish supplier with running Yellow Brick Road. So you sort of, I guess, the role now for me is I still sit. I've got a kind of foot in both camps where I supply seafood to chefs, restaurants, etc. around the country. But I still like to get my feet dirty in the kitchen and get my hands back in the guts of it, as it were, and come out of retirement, as someone said to me the other day, kiss a few babies and then go away again. And so it's great. So we're sort of quite excited, but sort of being back involved in. This year, I've only got the two events. I think my worst year was a couple of years ago, and I said, actually rang the organizer of Wellington on a Plate and said, How many events have I got involved? And they said 14. And that was 14 events across 13 days.
Ooh.
So I'm not quite sure I planned that one. So this year is a much more sedate affair. But I think, in terms of the Seafood Bazaar, when they approached us about it, said, look, you know, what do you think about this idea? It's like long overdue, you know, for a fishing nation like New Zealand not to have a seafood festival of any description. To celebrate the Komawana that we have of Aotearoa is extraordinary, really. And you sort of can't quite believe that it hasn't been done before. So to be able to get in on the ground level like this and go, right, let's put a stake in the ground and go, this is who we are and this is what we're about. It's quite exciting. Yeah. It's a great opportunity.
What's the philosophy behind Yellow Brick Road? I know that it's been set up by Rachel Talale, who has cut her teeth down in Nelson at Whakatū Corporation. But what's going on down there at Yellow Brick Road?
Yeah, so Yellow Brick Road was Rachel Talale founded it in 2006 after she'd come back from the States, where she was with NZTE there as a food and beverage ambassador. And basically, the idea was just to was a couple of things really. One was, you know, the aim of Yellow Brick Road has always been to take those who catch closer to those who cook. But working really with the, you know, along the idea that, you know, the best place for us to talk about ourselves and advertise ourselves and tell people about our seafood is right here at home, to showcase those products here in New Zealand rather than on the tables of LA or elsewhere. And to ensure that, you know, that the hard work invested by those involved in responsible fishing and farming was rewarded with, you know, that integrity, sorry, was rewarded by being given access to the country's leading restaurants. And that we can, you know, say that we can sell our story here. So from 2006, the philosophy has always been, if we don't know who caught it, how they caught it, or where they caught it, we don't touch it. We work predominantly with fishermen who catch using long lines, which is one fish per hook, you know, line off the back of the boat, lots of hooks, only one fish per hook. And they're day boats. So largely it's just a skipper and a deckhand that goes out. They're out either for a few hours at a time or overnight. We, you know, like I said, we don't work with trawl caught fish. So if we don't know who they caught it, we don't touch it. And we try to work with as wide a variety of species as we can, as opposed to just the standard sort of, you know, turkey, snapper, groper kind of list that you get, you know, that you get given. And we encourage, and we encourage our chefs and our clients to work with those species as much as we can where possible as well. We don't touch species that have got a question over their sustainability.
Well, I was going to ask that. There is so much concern, and rightly so, concern about fish stocks. What are you avoiding at the moment?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing. The quota management system comes in for a lot of flack by a lot of people, but it's actually regarded as one of the best in the world. I mean, any system is going to have its faults. No system is going to be perfect. I think, you know, if you sort of want to take a step back a little bit, it's, you know, Aotearoa is a nation that is steeped in the culture of fishing, right? From the early days of tikanga-based fisheries management, whaling, collecting tohoro, whatever it is, through to the current quota management system we've now got. Seafood forms an integral part of our lives in this country, right? And I say now that debate hinges around that word sustainability. And at one end of that spectrum, if you look at the sustainability being a spectrum, at one end you've got Forest and Bird and Greenpeace, who take a precautionary approach to sustainability, being, you know, like the less we know, the more care we need to take. And at the other, and that's the, you know, the red lists and the do not touch guides, etc. And they definitely have their place. There's nothing wrong with those at all. We need to have those because it gets the discussion going. And at the other end of the spectrum, we've got the Ministry of Primary Industries, who's the architect and the regulator of the quota management system. Somewhere in the middle is the sweet spot, right, of where we're catching fish that everybody agrees is fish to a sustainable level of sustainable management, right? And so sustainability has become is a really overused word and largely misunderstood, but, you know, simply a sustainable fishery is one whose practices can be maintained indefinitely without impacting adversely on the species or other species within that ecosystem. And so therefore most fish, in fact all fish available for sale in New Zealand, if it's for sale in the supermarket or your fishmonger or wherever, it is sustainable because that's the nature of the QMS system. It is managing those stocks to a sustainable level. More importantly, the question that we need to be asking is how is that fish caught rather than is this a sustainable species? I say the QMS system says it is a sustainable species. The method of catch is the grey area and the problem area, and that's why so we don't touch trawl caught fish for that reason, because, you know, you're just grabbing everything, whereas line catching, you're targeting the species that you want under what your allowable catch entitlement is.
You carry on.
No, I was going to say it's a very long answer to what was a simple question, but there's no sort of short way of actually answering that question.
Well, I think it's important that we talk about it because, you know, the, as you say, the extreme end is to just stop altogether, which doesn't necessarily feel like a very sustainable. It might be good for an individual, but it doesn't feel like a sustainable option for a food system. The other element to bring into this, and I'd be interested in your view on this, Morgan, too, is the you know, we're going through this kind of nose to tail. Well, in fact, in Beef and Lamb are celebrating Nose to Tail Week. To what extent have we not explored all the rest of the fish, and how are we doing that at Seabreeze Inn?
Well, we have one of my old apprentices that I worked with under Luke Mangan is a guy called Josh Nyland, who's basically opened up a place here called St. Peter and is doing incredible things with seafood that I didn't even think he knew, to be honest. I mean, I think he's still finding a lot of things out, and we're still finding out ways to utilize the whole fish. You know, I would go as myself personally as a sort of chef, how I've been trained is probably using the bones for head for personal use for curry, and then the bones for stock, and then the fillet for customers. I never really got involved with the liver and all those other things, and I wouldn't even know where to start, like, to be honest. I just haven't – it's not that I'm not open to it. I just haven't had the, I guess, the acknowledgement of it. Whereas, you know, someone like Josh, who just woke up one day and said, I'm not going to do this, I'm just going to start doing that. And you know, he's first to admit he's not the only one doing it in the world, and some of the things – I've even had from him haven't been incredible, more like a guinea pig, you know, especially on the aging of the fish and that sort of stuff.
Well, what are friends for if not trying a few things?
Yeah, I've had a few doozies, but I think with the Seabreeze Inn, it's kind of those quintessential Kiwi favourites, you know, that we want to use and also refine and then show people a different application to, let's say, power, or a different application to, say, clams, or obviously certain things that people acknowledge and they kind of understand what it is, but also, you know, using the whole of the beast, or the whole of the fish, in a sense. I think that's what we're going to try to do.
I think one of the other things that we want to see as well is from the YBR aspect of what we're doing is, you know, people sort of say, oh, we want snapper, is that we suggest there's alternatives to snapper, and it's showcasing what, you know, what those fish are. So, you know, like Moki is a great fish. It's a beautiful fish. It's not as cheaper than snapper, but it's fabulous in itself. If you want a fish that behaves like snapper does, then Moki is a great one to look at. It's to point people in those directions. And I think, as I said to Beth when we were initially discussing this, was when you walk into a butcher, you know, Vince, you use that nose to tail analogy, right? You walk into a butcher, and he's got beef, lamb, pork, and chicken. That's what he sells, right? And largely, if you know, if he doesn't have the lamb chops that you want, he's got a cutlet or whatever, but he's still got the lamb that's there. You can probably tweak your recipe and whatever. When you walk into a fish shop, it doesn't work like that. There might be 60 different species of fish in there, but you want the snapper because that's the fish that you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to have snapper for dinner. So when you go there and you look at the counter, you go, there's no snapper, therefore I can't eat tonight. Right, because I don't know what to do now. There's no snapper here. What do? People go to pieces because they go, I only know how to cook snapper. And you go, actually, this is the simplest thing in the world to cook. It's about going, there is no snapper, but there's Moki instead, or have you thought about Waterhow or whatever, and point them in different directions and go, and, you know, back to the butcher. You know, lamb is kind of, lamb is lamb. I mean, I've worked with guys who have gone, oh, you know, you can taste this lamb is grown in the top right-hand corner of the paddock where the eucalyptus tree is because you get that menthol on the lamb. I've gone, bullshit, you know. I've got a good palate, but I've never gone, oh yeah, I can totally taste the thyme and salt grass in the lamb. Whereas fish, I go, that's gurnard, that's trevally, you know, because fish has those identifiable flavors. You know, that it is kind of unique in that. So, you know, if we can get people going, as Morgan said, say, you know, it's not just your classic, we all know that take on fish and chips, but it's a take on fish and chip using a different species from what you would normally use. Then we start to make progress with people going, okay, now we can have a wider discussion around sustainability and what that actually means. If people in the general public are prepared to go, okay, then I'm going to go and buy a lesser known species of fish, because that's better for the environment overall, right? Then that's a success.
All right. Well, so that's the challenge. Thanks for laying it down. You need to tell us then, what should we're coming to the Seabreeze Inn, we're coming down to Wellington on a plate. What should I try beyond snapper?
Are you asking me that? The beautiful thing about this, Vincent, is right now I can't tell you what fish we're going to have available, because that's not the way this works. Because the ocean's not like a supermarket. You know, you can't go and just I'll tell this, because you know we're going to be dependent on the weather. We're going to depend on the fishermen going out and which fishermen are going out, and again what they're catching under their quota. We'll have a range of different fish that will be available, but it will be again. You know, I couldn't say, well, you should definitely have the yellowfin tuna because it's pole caught out of Fiji or anything like that, because we might not have it that day. But if we don't have it, we might have kingfish or we might have trevally instead. And I think like butterfish is an amazing Wellington fish that hardly anybody kind of eats, right? You go, well, I'll have the terakee. You go, no, you're going to have the butterfish instead. You know, point them in those directions. So it'll be, and I think that's going to be the exciting thing. Like over the 3 days of the yam, it's not going to be the same every day, because the fish might not be the same every day.
Okay, I'll have to come back for more. How about you, Morgan?
That's the idea.
What shall I try?
Like as Martin said, I've done recently a vol-a-vent a couple of times with Australian species of fish, and I'm actually looking forward to utilising some lesser known fish options for my vol-a-vent. I mean, the clams are clams, the clam chowder, But for my vol-a-vent, I want to try and utilise some other lesser known varieties of that I haven't even used myself, like butterfish, like moki and stuff like that. I have never used it, so I'm really excited about having. I could just fill it up with like snapper and salmon and be so boring, but I'm really looking forward to utilizing what's available and in a sustainable manner, which will be cool.
Okay, great. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you both down there. And just to reiterate, the Seabreeze Inn is open 3 nights only. It's a pop up, 29th, 30th, and 31st of July. Morgan McGlone and Martin Bosley, thanks so much for joining me, and thanks again for your effort in putting our Wellington on a plate. It's such a privilege.
You.